Happy Lent, friends. I had hoped that with Lent starting so late this year, it might actually signal a new season outside. But from the looks of today's snowfall, Mother Nature had other plans. And looking at our attendance, that's definitely the case. We can't seem to catch a break this winter, can we? Lord have mercy. I've heard jokes before conflating Groundhog Day and Easter, but I don't think it is funny to threaten six more weeks of this. Nonetheless, blessed Lent to you all. Today, Christian churches across the world celebrate the beginning of Lent, a 40-day season of repentance and conversion that helps us to prepare spiritually for Easter. For a number of Christians, this includes fasting from something, also known as giving something up. According to Christianity Today, social networking topped the 2018 list, followed by Twitter, alcohol, chocolate, and swearing. It was a fairly typical year, with the top five the same as last year, though in a different order, except for swearing, which came in sixth last year behind chips. Now, friends, setting aside the chocolate and the chips for 6 weeks may require some discipline on your behalf, but as I've been saying to you for 5 years now, God doesn't want a changed waistline at the end of these 40 days. God wants a changed heart. That is why, in the Old Testament passage from the book of Joel that we proclaim every Ash Wednesday, we read, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." We are being called to change our lives, not to replace our TV watching with social media, or vice versa. As Michael Piazza, the pastor of First Presbyterian Church of New Canaan, Connecticut, writes, "My hope is that Lent won't be so much a struggle for you as it will be a journey. Along the way, we may have to struggle up some hills or wade through some deep waters, but a well-observed Lent is a journey to Easter, to resurrection, to new life." Yes, resurrection requires something to die. Easter isn't a celebration of resuscitation, which is why even the return of spring is a woefully inadequate symbol. For us to be reborn to new life, we must let old habits and choices that are not life-giving die. Lent is also not about self-mastery. Listen carefully to this. There is nothing about you being tightly in control that will serve your spirit or bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. Do you need to hear it again? There is nothing about you being tightly in control that will serve your spirit or bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. I think saying it a third time would be pedantic, so. A true Lenten discipline seeks to let old habits and choices that are not life-giving die, even if it's painful, thus providing space for new life to spring forth. That's really at the center of our gospel lesson for today, the story of Jesus going out to pray in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights appears in all three of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the story that after his baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptist, after the Spirit declares, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased," Jesus treks out into the wilderness to pray for 40 days. Now, 40 is a symbolic number in the scriptures. Most often it refers to a length of time, 40 days or 40 years. A time of purification after which God reveals God's self in an ever more powerful way than before. Thus, when we read that Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days, our minds are supposed to immediately jump to the conclusion that when this is over, God will reveal God's self even more profoundly than before. And of course, that's exactly what happens. Because after this passage, we read of Jesus' entire ministry, his life, teachings, work, death, and resurrection. The connection that I often think that people neglect to make is that this is an archetype for our Lent as well. That through prayer and spiritual discipline, through dying to the things that are not godly in our lives, we are making room for God to reveal God's self in a new way to us this Easter. Have you ever had that experience that once you notice something, you see it everywhere? From dogs in sweaters to a particular actor on TV to Brussels sprouts on every menu. There seems to be a pattern in life that once we become aware of something, it becomes ubiquitous. Ted Danson has a relatively new show on NBC called The Good Place, ostensibly about heaven. In the first episode, a new arrival notices that there are dozens of frozen yogurt shops in her neighborhood. And Danson's character just sighs and says, "Yeah, people love frozen yogurt. I don't know what to tell you." This year, I have been struck by how often rocks and stones are mentioned in the Bible, particularly in our Lenten passages. In today's gospel alone, we hear of the devil tempting Jesus to turn a stone into bread, and both our psalm and gospel mention angels bearing us up, lest we dash our feet against a stone. It was as if once I saw one stone, everything became stone. And so what I thought would be interesting would be to pull together a theme for our Lenten discipline as a church, to pull together a dozen Bible verses that have to do with stones. Dear, I call them my Lenten stones greatest hits. The All right, groan. What I'm doing with this is encouraging all of us to focus our Lenten discipline this year. Sure, if you want to go give up chocolate, go ahead. I've read of people giving up listening to certain politicians for the season. And while that may be very good for your blood pressure, I would still encourage you to join in our rocky road of Lent. There are handouts over here right next to the baptismal font, next to the visual installation of rocks that Anne Rocco Wiest made for us and that John pointed out to the children in our children's time. And some of the passages include the one that we heard read earlier, Luke 4:3-4. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answering, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." The reflection question that I have added to that is, how can I rely on God rather than be tempted? Of course, that reflection question is really just a jumping off point. You're welcome to focus the passage in whatever way would be helpful for your spiritual journey. Another of the passages is Ezekiel 36, 26, where we read, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." The reflection question I offer there is, what is stony in my life that God is offering to put new life into? Or Luke 24, 1 and 2. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb." Perhaps your Lenten reflection there might be, what is keeping me entombed this year? What is keeping me from living life fully? Or you might focus on Luke 19, 39 and 40. "But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if they remain silent, the very stones will cry out.'" Perhaps your reflection question there might be, is this the season that I will speak out against injustice? You might be drawn to Ecclesiastes 3, 5. "To everything, there is a season. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing." With that, you might ask, what is God calling me to scatter or gather this Lent? I won't read all of the passages, but just a couple more to help you get a flavor for the exercise. Luke 6, 48 and 49 reads, "They are like someone who built a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood rose, the river burst against the house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But on the one who hears and does not act, it is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." That might spur you to ask yourself this Lent, what is my foundation? How can I build on rock and not sand? You might ask yourself, what have I made into an idol? When you read Leviticus 26:1, that tells us, "Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land or bow down before it, for I am the Lord your God." Or, saving the one that I'm going to be working on for last, John 8:7, "Let she who is without sin cast the first stone." Asking, how can God use this season to help me let go of the things that I'm judgmental about? My intent would be for each of us to choose one of these verses and questions to meditate and pray on throughout these 40 days. But if multiples draw you, there's nothing to stop you from engaging more than one. My only warning would be that if we are really seeking to die to an old way of being, if we're truly seeking a spiritual transformation from death to life, it may behoove us to stay focused on just one or two of those passages. As my preaching professor always warned us, pick just one theme. That passage will come up again, and you'll need other great ideas later on down the road. To put it another way, if you do a really great job of stopping being judgmental this year, there's always next year to work on dropping whatever it is that you've made into an idol. Friends, you're welcome to pick up the sheets at the font, and as John mentioned to the children in their time, to pick up a rock, perhaps as a touchstone. Maybe you'd like to set it on your kitchen windowsill, and every morning as you're making your coffee, reflect on how it is that you were doing on your spiritual quest this Lent. Or maybe you'll keep the stone in your pocket as a literal touchstone as you are thinking about how it is that you are called to lay down your judgments of others. Or perhaps there's something else that's been weighing you down, a millstone around your neck. Even despite this cold and icy winter, maybe you're called to find a stone and leave it in our installation, symbolically letting go of something that has kept you from abundant life. Friends, I truly meant it at the very beginning when I said, "Blessed Lent, happy Lent to you." My prayer for each of us this season is that this will be a transformative season for us. That as we walk down this rocky road of Lent, we will all be changed to the greater glory of God. May it be so.